Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Okay, bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. My apologies for the time change today. I had a couple of things came up that required immediate attention. But at the same time, wanted to make sure that we were able to have the session today because y'all have questions. They're very good, very important questions. So inshallah, we're here to try to answer them. Okay, let's go ahead and jump right into it. Questions related to fasting. Someone asked, if you're on a plane and don't know if it's sunset, how do you break your fast? You just guesstimate. Basically, take a look outside. If it's dark, then you can pretty much bank on the fact that, you know, you can open your fast now, inshallah, binillah. All right? The next question is for kafara. Now, again, for anyone who does not remember exactly the terminology, kafara is a penalty, oftentimes translated as expiation, which is actually a good translation, but just not everyone's familiar with the word. All right? So kafara is like a penalty when somebody intentionally violates a fast of the month of Ramadan, specific to Ramadan. They are an adult, they are obligated to fast, and they violate and break the fast deliberately, then they have to pay a penalty, okay? The penalty is prescribed in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that they have to free a slave. If they're not capable of doing that, then fasting 2 months. If they are not capable of doing that, then feeding 60 masakin, 60 people who are in need, a day's meals. Okay, so those are the penalties. Now, there are some questions in regards to the penalty. The questions are as follows, that does feeding 60 poor people, for example, have to be offered for each day that was missed? And so first of all, let me correct something here. It's not, you don't pay the penalty for the days you missed. You pay it for the days that you broke, okay? Number two is that, let's say somebody violated, broke their fast on multiple days. They did it two separate days in Ramadan, okay? Do they have to pay a separate penalty for each of the day? So fast 60 days for this one and 60 days for the second one. Feed 60 people for one and 60 people for the other one. So there's a difference of opinion on the issue. A classical difference of opinion. The majority, actually, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, the Maliki school, the Shafi'i school, the Hanbali school, they are of the opinion that yes, if you missed multiple days, if you broke multiple days, you violated the fast on multiple days, you will owe multiple penalties, multiple expiations. Okay? The Hanafi school is of the opinion, is of the position that you only need to offer one penalty for all the violations that have occurred. So if you broke the fast on 2 days, you only need to offer one penalty. Once you've offered the penalty, then you do it again, then you'll have to offer a new penalty. Like, it's not retroactive. But when you are offering a penalty, it will be on behalf of all the violations that you have committed up to this particular point. Wallahu ta'ala anhu. All right, so there is a difference of opinion. So as we always say about these kinds of instances, either point of view is valid. Either point of view is valid. And either approach that someone takes is valid. What I always do here in the Q&As is I just share what my point of view is. So in this case, in this instance, my point of view is that one penalty, one expiation would suffice for all the fasts that have been violated up to that point. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab. And Allah knows best. Okay? The next question. Some of the next questions are about salah and worship. Someone saying, question about attaining the ajr, the reward of Hajj and Umrah, by praying Fajr and then remembering Allah till sunrise. Okay? So someone saying that I have parental commitments and without my own transport to go to the masjid for the congregation, especially at Fajr time, how can I attain this ajr if I pray at home? Does it apply only to praying in congregation? What counts as remembering Allah during the time between Fajr and sunrise? Okay. So there are a lot of different questions that the person has in here about this issue. Let me try to explain it in a nutshell. The hadith is very general. The hadith is generally talking about someone who prayed Fajr and then remained engaged with the remembrance of God till the sun rises. Okay? So even if somebody ended up praying at home, they can still attain that reward and that virtue, number one. Number two, if somebody has need and necessity where they're not able to remain there, they had a ride, they came with someone, they're dependent on somebody else to get to the masjid and get back. If they just remain engaged in the remembrance of Allah while they're going home, while they're being dropped off at home, and then as soon as they get home, they sit down to once again remain engaged with the remembrance of Allah, they can still attain that reward. Okay? Because it's a necessity. And what all constitutes the remembrance of Allah? Well, anything that is done for the sake of Allah, that involves a reward from Allah. Whether you are, you know, making dhikr, making dua, reading Quran, studying something, reading translation, listening to a lecture, whatever the case may be, all of those things will factor in. All right? And so, now, about the earlier point that I made about the fact that, well, look, if you don't have any kind of ride or transportation, you're dependent on someone else, so you need to get home. And so just stay busy with the remembrance of Allah. And as soon as you go home, then kind of sit down and recommit yourself, that all of that will basically count and you'll get the reward. Somebody might say, well, how can you say that? Well, we have a general principle and a general guideline, and that is the idea that, you know, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very vast. And whenever we're talking about doing voluntary deeds, optional deeds for reward, the default mode is flexibility. Inna rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. The mercy of God is all-encompassing and most accommodating. Okay? The next question is, what to do if you made errors while learning fard actions? Do you have to make them all up? So this is a bit of a, this has some detail to it. Generally speaking, the idea, the rule is that you would make them up. However, some scholars have stated that if somebody was in the process of learning, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the reward of it, and they are accepted by Allah, and the person need not repeat all of them, and they can just move forward. And that is what I would recommend as well. Wallahu ta'ala anhu. Okay? There's a lot of questions here. Let me see. Of course, there's some marriage questions in here because so here's a couple of questions, and I'll start with these because they kind of touch on, you know, Laylatul Qadr and the last nights of Ramadan, etc. Somebody said yesterday was an odd night and perhaps Laylatul Qadr. Okay. Not last night. I guess they sent the question in the day before. All right. Well, tonight is going to be. I spent the night in ibadah, in worship, but got into an argument after Fajr. Does that nullify my good deeds and was my Laylatul Qadr wasted? No. Of course, it's not good to get into an argument. I'm not trying to say it's completely fine, right? Don't walk out of the masjid and be looking for somebody to fight with. But at the same time, understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is greater. All right? So I hope that that helps. Someone asked a question that... Okay, the question is regarding family, forgiveness from Allah, and acceptance of our worship, especially in the month of Ramadan. I haven't spoken to some members of my husband's family because of not visiting them for years. The reason for not visiting is because of the fear of possible danger to the lives of me and my children, traumatic experiences, fear of the evil eye, and my husband believing them and accusing me and my children of whatever they said about us. He would yell at us. He would repeat things that they said without thinking. And this caused him to have negative emotions towards his own children. The person goes on to say, I've never prevented my husband from seeing them or financially supporting them. And when they rarely speak to me on the phone or visit, I treat them as guests. The problem is that my husband and a few people in his family are hurt by my not interacting with his family. They don't understand the reasons. I feel like they might have the wrong thoughts in their minds. Like maybe they think I hate them. I don't hate anyone. I'm afraid that my worship might not be accepted because of hurting these people. And I'm not sure how to reconcile that so that Allah forgives my sins and accepts my fasting. So there's a very complicated family situation in here. There's some advice from a religious point of view I could mention. Number one is, the people that you are having this trouble with, make dua for them. Make dua for them. Not only make dua that your relationship with her, make pray for them, make dua for them. That Allah blesses them in whatever they're doing. Making dua for one another brings the hearts closer together. You know, give some sadaqah on their behalf. Do a good deed on their behalf. Give some charity, make the intention of Allah, give them the reward for this. That will soften the hearts and bring the hearts together. Okay? And then communication, talking it out with your husband. It's going to be very important. And then the biggest piece of advice that I'll give is talk to a family counselor, a therapist, talk to somebody that can help you make sense of this situation and, you know, try to understand the situation better. But you have to talk to somebody, a counselor, a licensed therapist, a counselor, etc. Okay? Now, the next thing is that your main question is, you're afraid that your worship might not be accepted because of hurting these people. If you are not actively hurting them, now again, I can't speak to this situation because I've only heard your side of the story, but I can answer your question from your point of view. If what you said is true, that you're being very fair and balanced and you're not trying to harm anyone, and you're trying to be respectful, but at the same time trying to protect your children, then you're not wronging anyone, you're not doing zulm to anyone, you're not oppressing anyone, you're not violating anyone's rights. So therefore, I don't think you need to worry about your deeds not being accepted. And if that's the case, then you ask Allah for forgiveness and Allah will indeed forgive your sins. And Allah will indeed accept your worship. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab. I hope that that helps. All right. Some questions in regards to dua. Is it necessary to put your hands up while making dua? What if you are driving? So it's not necessary, but that is how the Prophet ﷺ would make dua. It's narrated by like dozens of companions. Okay. If you're driving, no. There's always exception to rule. Usama ibn Zayd, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Arafah, and he was making dua at Hajj. And so he had both his hands raising, making dua. The rope that was, you know, on the rope tied to the neck of the camel, or sometimes it would be connected to the nose ring, and the camel is very sensitive about that. It was sitting on the back of the camel. So after a while, the rope slipped and fell. When it felt a little bit of tug, the camel started to lower its head. So the Prophet ﷺ reached down and grabbed it with one rope, and then he just kept one hand up, continuing to make dua. So in that sense, obviously, if you're driving, keep both hands on the wheel and just make dua. It's not a requirement. But if you are sitting like this, just at home by yourself making dua, then you should raise your hands. Right? Again, you don't have to, but it is recommended. Okay? All right. Okay, someone is saying that I would like a dua about asking for my children to be guided and for them to become righteous. People say to use verse 38 from chapter 3, Surah Ali Imran. Is that dua appropriate to ask for existing children to be granted guidance? Isn't it asking for a new child? هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَا رَبَّهِ قَالَ رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. So you are correct in noting the fact that the dua is actually asking for a new child. However, there's another verse that I can recommend that has a similar meaning, but then I'm going to share something with you. Give me just a moment so I can pull up that other verse. It's at the end of Surah Al-Furqan. It's at the end of Surah chapter number 25. All right. Okay, chapter 25, verse number 74. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. My Lord, grant, our Lord, grant us in our spouses and our children the coolness of the eyes, and make all of us as families the leaders of the righteous. All right, so that seems to be a little bit more directly in the vein of what you are inquiring about. But now the big thing I wanted to say is, remember, at the end of the day, you can use these du'as, but what is most powerful and most effective and most beautiful and most sincere is just in your own words saying, oh Allah, I really worry about my kids. Oh Allah, please give them the love of the deen. Guide their hearts. Give them iman. Give them the love of Allah and His Messenger, etc., etc. So that will be the most effective way to make dua for your children. All right? Okay. So with that, inshallah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap up the Q&A session for today. So a couple of notes, though, before you head out. Tonight at QalamLive.com. So if you go to QalamLive.com, we are going to be having the annual Qalam Qiyam program. It's going to be a really awesome program, inshallah. You know, very powerful sessions and reflections shared by the instructors at Qalam. So please tune in there. All right. So that'll be tonight. If you go to QalamLive.com, you can set a reminder, convert it for your time zone, be notified when it starts, etc. So go to QalamLive.com, number one. Number two, if you've been keeping up with these sessions, you can find all the previous sessions. If you want to use Instagram, they're all saved on at my Instagram account, number one. You can also go to the Qalam YouTube channel. You'll find all of them saved over there as well. And they're being uploaded to the Qalam podcast. So you can listen to them there as well. Inshallah, binillah. Thirdly, go to supportqalam.com and support the work that we're doing. These are last few days and nights of the month of Ramadan. Blessed days. Tonight's the 27th night. Donate, contribute, sadaqah jariyah. So that plant a seed for a tree that will continue to grow long after you're gone and continue to benefit you and your family in the life of the hereafter. All right? And then the one thing someone had asked a question. Let me answer that question. I apologize. Is it okay if I, in my sujood, saying Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa? Yes, you can absolutely. So the dua for Laylatul Qadr, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are innaka afuun, you are the oft forgiving. Tuhibbul afwa, you love to forgive, fa'fu anni, so please forgive me. You can absolutely say that in your sujood as well, in your optional prayers, in your qiyam, in your prayers tonight, inshallah, binillah. Barakallahu feekum. So lastly and finally, before I go, because we are, you know, going into the 27th night, a blessed night, last few moments of the month of Ramadan, I want to specifically remind everyone to make dua for Muslims everywhere, but, you know, it's in front of us right now. Particularly make dua for our Palestinian brothers and sisters and what they're dealing with, and make dua for the protection and the sanctity of the sacred house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Masjid al-Aqsa, because unfortunately and tragically it's being violated. So please, a lot of du'as are needed everywhere. All over the Ummah, people are hurting. But I just felt, I feel a particular connection with Palestine and Masjid Aqsa. And so I'm just requesting you to keep them in your du'as tonight. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.